I'd ask you to please turn with me to the chapter that we read together in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Forasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. And the subject before us this evening is redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. Now, this statement is set in the context of living as the Lord's people thoughtfully and dependent upon God's grace. Walking as children of light in obedience, not conformed to the world, but holy in all our conduct. Here the Apostle Peter gives us fundamental reasons for this walk. He says in verse 16, "Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." And then in verse 19, he reminds us that we have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Christ foreordained in eternity, before time, as Saviour of the world, the Son of God. And it is this second point the Apostle Peter makes as a motive for holiness that I want us to consider together this evening. Be holy because of the cost of our redemption. The precious blood of Christ. One of the most effective, sanctifying, sobering, and blessed influences upon the Christian life for us this evening is that of meditating on the precious blood of Christ crucified at Calvary. David Brainerd once said, "I find that my converts begin to put on the garments of holiness and their common life begins to be sanctified when they are possessed with the doctrine of Christ and Him crucified." You remember how in the final part of his letter to the church at Galatia, the Apostle Paul wrote of the fruits of justification by faith, living in the Spirit, showing forth the fruits of the Holy Spirit, trusting only in Christ for salvation. And he concludes his letter to the church at Galatia by saying, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." This meditation, this glory upon the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, the precious blood of Christ. You remember also on the Mount of Transfiguration, and that awesome and yet solemn and glorious time. What was the conversation about? If you turn with me to Luke chapter 9 and verse 28, we see something quite remarkable here. This was a very special time. It was a holy time. It was a precious time. What should the conversation be about on top of that mountain? Well, we read and we're told in Luke's account, "And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem." In that very unique and special and holy time, the conversation was about Christ at Calvary, Christ's death, the shedding of the precious blood of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, on behalf of unworthy sinners like me and like you. Remember, one of the songs in heaven that is recorded for us is, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." We will sing this in eternity. We will never tire of singing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." We will be taken up with the theme of the precious blood of Christ in glory. Remember what is said of the redeemed in heaven. They are they which have come out of great tribulation. They've come out of great trial. They've come out of great suffering. But they've washed their robes and they've made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, from the beginning of time, blood has always been regarded by God as something very precious and valuable. Particularly precious in God's sight is the lifeblood of those who put their trust in Him. If you are one of those this evening who have put your trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, do you not know that your lifeblood is very precious to God? Very precious to God. The psalmist, writing prophetically about the gospel age in Psalm 72, states, "He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in His sight." Precious shall be their blood in His sight. And also, in connection with this precious lifeblood of God's people, is the death of His people. When that lifeblood dies, and there we read in Psalm 116:15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Therefore, if the lifeblood is so precious in God's sight, and that of the Lord's people especially so, in life and in death, how much more precious shall the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ be in both life and death? For in Christ we have the precious lifeblood of a perfect person, a lamb without blemish, innocent, without taint, no flaw, absolutely perfect, a person who magnified the law, who fulfilled it completely and made it honorable. The Apostle Paul describes his precious blood when Christ died as a perfect man, as the blood of God. The Son of God with a perfect human nature and a divine nature, distinct yet united in one person. In all the suffering of the cross, Jesus Christ never ceased at any time to be the Son of God. And so the Apostle Paul, writing, in Acts 20:28, says, "Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood." To shepherd the church of God, which He purchased with His own blood. Paul is teaching us here that as God and man in one person, there is an inestimable value in the blood of Christ. Matthew Henry reminds us, he says, in this reference in Acts, Paul's statement, this text, he says, proves that Christ is God, for He is so called here, where yet He is said to purchase the church with His own blood. The blood was His as a man, yet so close is the union between the divine and the human nature that it is here called the blood of God. For it was the blood of Him who is God, and His being so put such dignity and worth into it as made it both a valuable ransom of us from evil and a valuable purchase for us of good. A purchase of us to Christ, to be to Him a special people. The precious blood of Christ. Well, there are so many blessings that flow to needy sinners from the precious blood of Christ. And this evening we're going to consider in a devotional manner some of these blessings for our encouragement. First of all, then, the blessing of redemption. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now, the Lord's people have been redeemed from the condemnation of the law. This is the most blessed redemption and freedom of all. Because if we remain this evening under the condemnation of the law, it follows that we're guilty before God this evening. We're still under the law. It means we remain enslaved in our sins. We are children of wrath, just as the others. But redemption from the condemnation of the law means that we are freed from its condemning power by the precious blood of Christ. You know, when the children of Israel encamped at the bottom of Mount Sinai, the Lord descended by fire, and the whole of the mountain was covered in smoke. It quaked greatly, we are told. It was a time when the Lord reminded the children of Israel of his holiness, and in giving that perfect law, that law which is pure, it's immovable, it's just. It's the word revelation of God's just commands. It's unalterable, unchangeable. It stands and withstands all evil and sin and compromise. It's the touchstone standard of God this evening as we speak. Whatever laws governments are making, nothing changes the law of God. And before it, we all stand condemned in and of ourselves without Christ. Only the precious blood of Christ redeems us from the condemnation of the law. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy. His child, and forever I am. Is that your song this evening? It's a wonderful song, isn't it, to sing? This redemption then, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, it's an eternal redemption. By his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Eternal redemption. And the song in heaven, for those who've already got to glory, and our song will be in glory in eternity. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. What a Savior we have, redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. But then secondly, what about the blessing of atonement? In God's wisdom, there is only one way whereby our sins can be atoned for, and that is by the blood of his Son. It is by the power of the blood of Christ that sinners are redeemed from the wrath of God to the peace of God. And our greatest need this evening, or whoever we are, is to be at one with God, to be reconciled through the precious blood of the Lamb. No longer under the law, but under grace. No longer under God's frown, but under his smile. And to enable this transforming miracle to take place in our own lives, God sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins, that we, as wretched sinners, born in sin and shaping in iniquity, might be forgiven of all our sin and know atonement. And this wonderful blessing comes to us freely through the one and only way that is found at Calvary, his precious blood shed upon the cross. So it is Christ crucified which is the sinner's first glory. It is like the sinner's first love. A sinner saved marvels at Christ crucified, wonders at how Christ, the perfect Son of God, should die for me, should give his life and suffer the eternal punishment due for my sin and your sin. This is, as it were, is our first love, Christ crucified for me, our great comfort, our refuge, our security. As the hymn writer said, I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. Is that your song this evening? You may have recently been converted. Is that your song? You marvel at the grace of God, the blessing of atonement, but then the blessing of cleansing. See, sin has made us totally unclean within. It's stained us. It's ruined us. It's affected our whole being. You know how it is, how when we're doing jobs at home, our clothes get stained by paint and grease, and how difficult it is to remove its mark. How much more than our sin within us? It's a plague. It's a terrible virus that cannot be cured by any human means. But there is a cleansing power. It is the precious blood of Christ. And many times we are encouraged in God's word in the cleansing power of the precious blood of Christ. Satan may be tempting you this evening to say, yes, 99% of my sins are forgiven, but how can God forgive that very, very vile sin of mine? That one that seems to rise above any other sin. How can God forgive that sin? I can see and I have faith to believe 99%, but that 1% is leaving me in bondage. What to do about this? We have to come to the Word of God. We have to put our trust in the Word of God and its authority. The psalmist wrote, looking forward by faith to the precious blood of Christ the Messiah, and he stated, who forgives all your iniquities. All your iniquities. The Lord speaking through the prophet Isaiah, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And the Apostle John, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. See how the Word of God keeps telling us it's all sin, a complete work of Christ for your sin. And what is the one of the favorite songs in heaven? We remind ourselves again, we have washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. How else can you stand before a holy and an awesome, all-seeing God this evening, who knows everything about your life, your thoughts, what you are thinking now, unless you are cleansed in Christ? How else can you make a wonderful entrance into glory and be accepted into heaven but through the precious blood of Christ? It's the only way. But then, the blessing of preservation and security. Remember when the Lord sent his judgment on the land of Egypt, there was only one sign for preservation. Only one sign. And that was the blood of the Passover lamb. That was the blood of the Passover lamb. The people were secure inside the properties marked with blood. But I want us to notice this evening that they were saved by God's grace and God's mercy. They were no better by nature than their Egyptian neighbors, the children of Israel, who took refuge under the blood of the Passover lamb, by nature were sinners. And their security was through that precious blood of the Passover lamb, which pointed, we know, to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Maybe many of the properties of the working community of both the Egyptians and the Israelites were similar in style. The only difference along the streets was the blood of the lamb on the doorposts. Under the blood, there was security. What about your own street? What about your own apartment block this evening? What makes a difference between your house, your life, and those in your house and your apartment, if you are those who are saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ? What makes the difference? What makes the difference between you and your neighbor? Why is it that you are not under the wrath of God? Why is it that you are not under the judgment of God? There's only one reason. Because you are under the precious blood of the Lamb, the precious blood of Christ. And we read something very wonderful in that account. We read, the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood is a sign of your protection, the blood of the Passover Lamb. What a comfort this is this evening. Because sometimes our faith is so dim, isn't it? It's so weak. And we cannot see all the time the significance and the blessing of the precious blood of Christ so clearly. But our security this evening is not in our faith's glimpse of the precious blood of Christ, but in God seeing the blood and passing over us. Ultimately, our security is not in the strength of our faith, but in the wisdom and faithfulness of God abiding by the promises of his word to us in Christ Jesus. And we have a picture here in the event in the land of Egypt. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the Lord very clearly linked the Passover feast to the institution of the Lord's Supper, communion. For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. And the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, is at the Father's right hand as we speak, in glory, with a glorified body, and yet with the evidence of Calvary. The nail prints on his hand and on his feet, a wounded side. The evidence is there. And there he is at the Father's right hand. And the Father sees us through Christ. And sometimes when our faith is so weak, our security is in Christ. And our security is in the Father, seeing us through his Son and receiving us graciously in his love, through the person and finished work of his only beloved Son. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I will not bring judgment upon you. I see you in Christ Jesus the Lord. Be encouraged by this evening. Take encouragement from it. The precious blood of Christ. But then, what of the blessing of its pleading power? The word of God says that the blood of Christ speaks better things than that of Abel. Why is this? Well, Abel's blood pleaded and prevailed. But it was a cry of vengeance. And Cain was punished for murdering his brother Abel. His blood cried out to God. It had a prevailing power, but it was a prevailing power of judgment and justice. The precious blood of Christ avails and pleads in a similar way to Abel's, yet in a full and perfect way. But what is its plea for us this evening? It's not vengeance, but grace. It's grace. It's love. It's forgiveness. It's mercy. And we run to this refuge this evening. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And when Satan tempts you this evening and reminds you of all your sins, you remind him of this text. You remind him of the precious blood of Christ and how it prevails and how it avails for you. How it pleads for you. Not vengeance, not condemnation, but love and mercy and forgiveness and grace. That precious, glorified body of Christ at the Father's right hand, from which here on earth poured water and blood at Calvary, signifying cleansing and forgiveness of sin for needy, undeserving, hell-deserving sinners. That's where we come to this evening, the precious blood of Christ. And this is a great motivation for holiness. If we value the precious blood of Christ, and if we value something of the cost, it will do so much to bring a hatred of sin. So much for a desire for holiness in our life. This sacred fountain. Joseph Irons, wrote this hymn, and I quote it to you. What sacred fountain yonder springs up from the throne of God, and all new covenant blessings brings, 'tis Jesus' precious blood. What mighty sum paid all my debt when I a bondman stood, and has my soul at freedom set? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. What stream is that which sweeps away my sins just like a flood, nor lets one guilty blemish stay? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. What voice is that which speaks for me in heaven's high court for good, and from the curse has set me free? 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. What theme my soul shall best employ? Thy harp before thy God, and make all heaven to ring with joy. 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. But then what about the precious effect of the blood of Christ on the soul? The effect on our soul. You see, often as believers, we marvel, not in a positive manner, but sorrowfully, about the hardness of our heart. Have you ever marveled about the hardness of your heart? And you read these things, you read 1 Peter 1, and you hear of the precious blood of Christ, and yet it's like you still remain unmoved. And here, though, when we really seriously contemplate the precious blood of Christ, is one of the best medicines for our heart. It is said that law and terrors do but harden all the while they work alone, but a sense of blood-bought pardon soon dissolves a heart of stone. You see, while the law must be preached as a warning, it was never meant by the Lord to soften our hearts. It is the love of God to sinners through the shed precious blood of Christ which is designed to soften the heart. And when we consider that the Son of God himself should take upon himself a body, should suffer and bleed and die for me and for you, and that he loved us even when we were enemies enough to die for us as sinners, come to Christ. Come to Christ this evening with a broken, with a softened heart. But you say, I can't soften my heart. Well, if you can't come with a broken, softened heart, still come to Christ, that he might soften your heart. Whatever, come to Christ. Whatever the state of your heart, come to Christ, that you might come under the blessing of his precious blood. Spurgeon tells the story of two soldiers who were on duty at a citadel in Gibraltar. And one of these soldiers had obtained peace through the precious blood of Christ, and the other, though, was in great distress of mind over his sinful condition. He was still under conviction of sin. And it happened to be their turn on two points of the citadel on duty one night. And there were long passages between these two points which were adapted to convey sounds and messages along the corridor. And while this man, who was under conviction of sin, was so distressed in his mind, he suddenly heard the words coming along this passage, the precious blood of Christ. And these words had the effect of melting his heart and converting his soul as he looked to Christ. And what had happened was the other soldier who was converted, who was a believer, had been meditating on the precious blood of Christ, and the hour turned when another soldier should come and take the guard and come and take over. And when that happened, he should have said out aloud the password. But he was so taken up with his meditation on the cross and the Calvary that instead of giving the password, he said, the precious blood of Christ. And that message went along the corridor to this other man, and God used it in the conversion of this other soldier. A means of blessing, a blessed effect upon the soul. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. That the effect of the precious blood of Christ, it has such an effect upon sanctifying our lives. Think of its sanctifying influence this evening. We read in God's word that Christ sanctified the people by his own precious blood, that same blood which justifies and atones and gains us acceptance and peace with God, does go on to influence the new nature. It leads us on to subdue indwelling sin. It helps separate, sanctify, a separating influence. Spurgeon says there is no motive for holiness so great as that which streams from the veins of the Lord Jesus, using picture language. But what about the blessing of the access it brings? You know how in Old Testament times the high priest entered into the holy place, but he could only do so with the blood. And so for us, we can never get to the heart of God without the precious blood of Christ. Are you trying to know fellowship with God, bypassing Calvary? It is only through him that we have access with boldness into this grace wherein we stand. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. How to have this fellowship with God that we so desire. Brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. But now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were afar off are made near, nigh, by the blood of Christ. Spurgeon once said, if you attempt to have fellowship with God in your graces, in your experiences, in your emotions, you will fail. But if you come near to God, as you stand in Christ, then God will receive you as he sees you in the face of Christ, his anointed one. There is no getting near to God except we first get near to the cross and the precious blood of Christ has the power to give you nearness to God. Do you value that precious blood this evening? The precious blood of Christ. Just two more points and then I will conclude. The precious blessing of its confirming power. The blood of Christ is described as the blood of the everlasting covenant. It is the sealing power of the everlasting covenant of grace. You see, without the precious blood of Christ sealing the covenant of grace, there will be no power in it to bless or save us. It is the precious blood of the everlasting covenant. It provides for us this evening a strong consolation for us who have fled for refuge in Christ Jesus. It's the stamp upon the everlasting covenant of grace. It's the authority. And finally, what of the blessing of the overcoming power of the precious blood of Christ, his death at Calvary, all that that means. And here we conclude with the ultimate victory. It is written in the book of Revelation, as we have reminded ourselves, we overcome through the blood of the Lamb. We overcome sin. We overcome temptation. We overcome unbelief. We overcome fear. We overcome persecution. We overcome trials. We overcome sadness. We overcome loss. We overcome rejection. We overcome trial. We overcome affliction. We overcome death through the precious blood of Christ. The precious blood of Christ avails for sinners gloriously, powerfully, eternally, graciously, mercifully, so that we can sing, now freed from sin, I walk at large. The Saviour's blood my fall discharge. At his dear feet my soul shall stay, a sinner saved. And homage pay. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Let's turn to the hymn book.